Greetings and welcome to Elven Pod 4. And I wanted to share this with you actually at the time of the new moon, which was last week, but I was in so much Elven ceremony last moon that I needed a rest at that time. But this is my intention is to share the chapter and the words of the Silver Wheel directly from the book with every new moon. And the book was written in alignment with the moon. And with each moon, I would listen to one of the glyphs as it flowed through and transcribe, year after year, transcribing the wisdom that came with that moonlight, with that time of year. And so this was the, and is, the time of the Pearl Moon in the greater galactic cycles of the Elven and the Star Elders, and to which we are attuning and remembering at this time. They're the greater cycles of our soul growth, our cycles as star creators, as shining ones, as soul stars, as expressions of source, of spirit. And so the wisdom of each moon really calls us into the deeper phases of that way of being. So I'd love to share with you this now, the Pearl Moon. So it's the whole chapter, so you can settle in to listen, to pause when you need, to let the words flow and activate and speak in the unique way that they do to the place that you are in. So yeah, I shall read and share. So the words of the teaching itself, the core words that came from this glyph as I listened to it each moon, this is the essence. This body shall become translucent with light. It shall shine. It shall become indivisible with its holiness. In one lifetime, it shall make the transformation it needs to make in order to become the new human. And then we shall leave the template for the generations who follow. And I'd love to share the image of the glyph itself, which is here, its form. So chapter 12. Hooves fly silver in the star forest. Her footsteps are dark violets. The 12th glyph is about the profundity of metamorphosis you are undergoing, about how it fulfills all your most miraculous hopes. You have been preparing for so long. Do not become lost in the tale of your metamorphosis. Do not believe yourself forever the caterpillar. For so long you feel the dissolution of the chrysalis. For so long you feel the damp fragility of new wings. In your dreams you catch glimpses of the life of the butterfly. But there is an hour to let go completely and irrevocably of the caterpillar, of the chrysalis, of the endless preparation, and accept that you are the butterfly. Your being at an infinitesimal level has altered. Step over the threshold and then let that threshold vanish. There is no return. There is no stepping back. You are no longer standing at the threshold. You are no longer hovering at the brink of transformation. You have crossed over. and the portal that carried you across has dissolved and vanished. What does the butterfly do? She flies. She takes to a dimension that was previously impossible to her. She raises her wings and takes to vast distances. She discovers the most beautiful and vibrant flowers to visit, drawn by their nectar, by their scent and vivid colour. She charts the great distances of the skies, linking these jewel-like flowers in her dance. Her existence bears no resemblance to the one before, and she has accomplished this entire metamorphosis. She trusts her new existence. In it, she rests entirely. Sometimes we say farewell to people and places, times of our lives that we loved. These are the golden moments of the past. We can remember the textures of joy and of love, of community and companionship. It is hard to remember these times without a sense of regret that they have come to an end. There can be nuances across lifetimes that catch at us with this memory of joy and fulfillment. It can happen so suddenly that the memory causes our heart to expand with love and recognition. It can happen with people, with places, with experiences. There are times in our lives when we have experienced deep wonder. Whatever passing shadows of fear or loneliness or confusion also existed, it was one that was overwhelmingly positive. It shone with light. When we remember these times and we realize their finitude, we may wonder why life is not what it once was. Why did we not perpetuate that golden hour? Why did it not last forever? Have we been fools to lose the treasure that was ours? Actually, we cannot lose anything that is truly ours. It is not possible. And if it passes from our hands, it shall always come back to us like a homing dove. Sometimes the circles of growth and expansion upon which we embark seem to take us far from ourselves. We embark upon the road less travelled, seized by some inner compulsion. It is as though spirit suddenly sends its beacon flaring in a direction different from the one we expected. We are alarmed and disoriented, but really it feels that we have no choice. We are reminded of our deepest intentions, of the true dimensions of our spiritual contract in this lifetime, which is not merely to perpetuate that which we have already become. We are reminded that there is further to travel, and that everything we have learned is only a beginning. How daunting to leave behind the hour of our summer, of our fullness and accomplishment, and cross what looks like a barren winter upon the surface to the promise of another true spring. We might doubt ourselves. We might be missed by family and friends who have become accustomed to what they have known of us. But we know that the call of spirit has come, and since this is our greater longing, our deepest intention, onward we go. This is about how we relate to endings. People miss us when we change, when we transform. It is a loss, a small death in their lives, and we feel the same when we look back upon the golden hours of ourselves and wonder where the time went, and what went wrong that we lost such perfection. That vision of perfection is an illusion. We remember the beauty and the love because they are more powerful and real than anything else. But we cannot discount the loneliness, fear, doubt, confusion that also dance through us, because these are the elements that called us on. That meant there was further to travel. We did not experience a completion then that this present moment is lacking. Otherwise, this present moment would not exist. The experience itself contains the seeds of its own ending. We long so deeply for this arrival. We long for an end to the ceaseless movement, to the insecurities of change. If we could but find a place where we could buffer ourselves from all this alteration, where we could induce stillness. It is not easy to feel yourself always to be at a threshold and never knowing what lies on the other side. Uncertainty becomes a guiding principle. Unknowing becomes our friend. This is how it is for the ones who have surrendered to the metamorphosis of the golden dawn, the ones who have accepted that things will never be the same again, and have given their trust to the infinite. We seem to remember a time when everything moved slower, when there was not this intensity of change. Perhaps we long to go backward, and then we remember that somehow, for all its loveliness, that the past was smaller. It felt more constricted. Perception was more clouded. We have indeed become more translucent, more spacious, more diffuse, more golden. How was this to happen without the outer circumstances of a life altering? How was this to happen without something being left behind? We do not know what it is exactly we are becoming. We face this mystery in every cycle of our growth, in every year that passes. We face the mystery of not knowing that which we are becoming, and this is not a mystery that we need to solve. We might think that it is our dream for ourselves, and yet, in truth, where does it come from? Did we notice its arrival, its provenance? Where does the dream of ourselves arise? It is that which, like all mysteries, belongs to nature, to the infinite. This is why so often we find it in natural places. It comes to us as insight. Under the stars and on mountains, we are part of the greater arising dream of nature. Nature is not gentle with herself. She does not resist metamorphosis, and yet it is apparent that her transformations abide by sweeping cycles and rhythms. There is an elegance, a music to her alterations. Thus we can trust in the beauty and perfection of the process of unfolding itself. It has its rhythm, it has its internal harmonies. We do not have to be at the end of our days in order to experience peace. There is peace within change, within transformation. Perhaps this is the great art of our age. This is the grace we need to learn. We are born to this time. We are perfectly designed as angels of the storm, graceful and undaunted on its winds. You are becoming sensitive to the golden fluctuations of the dawn's energies. You have a direct intuition of its cosmic rhythms as they occur for you. You feel them occurring within your most infinitesimal particles. You are becoming attuned to the cadences of infinity that are ebbing through you. Galactic, celestial, and earthly portals are appearing at every corner, rendering you ever more transparent. The otherworldly dream of the universe is opening her records to you, and you discover that you are not who you thought you were. You have gone beyond metamorphosis from caterpillar to butterfly. You are the butterfly. You are a rainbow butterfly who undergoes the cosmic inspiration of the stars, the hue of her wings changing as she soars through the golden portals of the new earth. And from within, she releases codes of still more unforeseen wonder. Her wings become silver, copper, amethyst, aquamarine, sapphire, rose, carnelian. She is forever altering and forever herself. This is the light body of the new human. The 12th teaching of the Deerskin Book states that in this one lifetime, we shall come to embody a wholly new energetic paradigm for humanity upon Earth. We shall shine and become translucent with light. This does not lie ahead in lifetimes to come. It is the transmutation of now that is our gift to future generations. You shall learn to dance. We shall learn through our listening and our breath to embody the golden heart essence of exchange. We are learning the graceful recognition of this exchange in the phenomenal realms of nature, as well as between human beings, so that we gain interdimensional fluidity. The art of transmission is a key aspect of how our new light body functions. Much the way a flower transmits its beautiful color and scent, so you transmit the light codes that are your evolutionary gift. This transmission shall automatically occur whenever it is needed, and you are learning the art of maximizing this transmission by your transparency and loving intention. You recognize this occurrence of light code transmissions as the sphere of true occurrence. It is not something you need to have a plan or a program for. You shall recognize the fundamental occurrence of this giving and receiving and become adept in your conscious participation. You shall learn to recognize the internal and perceptual hints and pressures that let us know this is taking place. Your sensitivity is continuously increasing. We accept this as fluid and natural, not kept to the sphere of spiritual work between student and teacher, or only to the sphere of our most intimate relationships. We allow ourselves to light up around one another as part of a dynamic and natural flow of enlightenment. We cease to delineate such energetic experiences as unusual or esoteric, and we cease to fear the power of love to touch us. The new energetic form is one that is fluid and responsive and has the capacity to handle much higher frequencies than we have been accustomed to in the last historic and prehistoric eras. We become familiar with the exchange of high and beautiful energies, so that life is filled with much more beauty and hope. It gives us our sense of aspiration and an awareness of ourselves as spiritual beings. This exchange shall occur with our environment as much as with one another. And therefore, our perceptual divide between spirit and matter, heaven and earth, shall naturally dissolve on the basis of experience. So we become the people that our world needs. So we become the people that we have been waiting for, the ones who shall rescue us. This does not lie down the line in aeons of slow shifts. The preparation work is complete, and we shall make the shift in this lifetime, so that this paradigm becomes completely available upon Earth. This golden dawn of the new Earth shall no longer belong to the periphery of consciousness and culture. It shall become an overwhelming existential possibility, and one that brings much-needed golden hope into people's hearts. We are the old starlight receiving this stellar inspiration. We are the old bones awakening to this dawn. There is an abundance of long-stored potential, a great force finally unleashed. We are the elders, the glyphs of the golden dawn awakening. When I speak of interdimensional transformation, I must emphasize that you are never being asked to exchange the warmth of your heart, of yourself, for some other. That warmth is the jewel of the heart star. It is through this that all transformation flows. We have come to a very beautiful point in our evolution, in our potential. We must trust in this and not harbor a dissatisfaction with ourselves, wanting something else more radical or more glamorous. Any transformation that occurs without coming through the heart star is not something that shall remain with us. It has not been integrated. We may even have picked up some beautiful or enticing energy that does not belong to us at all. It is the miraculous nature of our ordinariness, of that which is native and natural, of that which lies deepest within. It is this that we seek to unveil. This infinite and miraculous self is actually deeply familiar and stems from the spaciousness of our innermost core. The golden dawn involves the synchronized transmissions of the earth and the stars and ourselves. We are not actually being transformed by a force from outside of us. This view of cause and effect is false. It is merely a linguistic and conceptual convenience to express it this way, using the bridge of teleological consciousness to cross over to a new paradigm. There is no great causal force emanating from the stars and altering a passive earth, whose only role is to accept the incoming frequencies. It is more that many things are happening at once, and they are echoes and mirrors of one another, various manifestations of the same underlying reality. The separation between dimensions is collapsing, so that each dimension is flowering throughout the others. There is an incredible overlapping taking place, which obviously has its unique connotations for each dimension as it occurs. The process of collapse is, if you like, unique for each dimension. The Deerskin book contains the codes for this process from the perspective of Earth. For us, we are receiving the inspiration or dimensional realities of other stars and galaxies. We look at the implications of this as it occurs in a transformational blueprint for the new Earth. Neither are the glyphs the arrival from the stars of something so far outside of ourselves. We have always been interwoven with these dimensions, but now there is an hour of access, an hour of gift and acceptance. We have created these progressions of time and space for ourselves. We have created these progressions between spirit and matter so that we could more deeply understand ourselves. Thus, we experience an arrival and a gift. These progressions are the forms of our sacred unfolding. These are the elemental alchemies through which we blossom. We will always know when any phase of expression has run its course and move on. Once the gift has been given, fully transmitted and accepted, then the choreography of dimensions alters and the paths that we were traveling no longer even appear to exist. The other dimensions have never been altogether lost. They have remained a part of the interwoven dance of nature throughout this last era. They have sounded in our consciousness, anchoring us to their frequencies, grounding the unfolding of time and space. They have remained wound through us, very much active and present. They have wound their way through the unfolding of the cedar and the cherry blossom, through our own bodies and minds. Cultures have been influenced by them and even expressive of them. There have been waves of remembering, waves of the attempt to bring these dimensions back into conscious awareness, back into the collective culture. Unfortunately, much of this comes forward as esoteric, as dealing with something that is mysterious and hidden. Now, however, the esoteric aspect is dissolving. Increasingly for us, there is nothing so very mysterious or hidden about an interdimensional existence, about an interdimensional self. If it is mysterious, it is the mysteriousness of wonder. It is the mysteriousness of nature as she arises, showing us that she is more than we ever knew, and yet confirming our deepest knowledge, the truth of our furthest hidden dreams of ourselves. It is all here. It is all now. For some, their suffering will make them fear to touch the light. Despite this, the great dance of the infinite goes on through them and around them. They cannot truly be separated from the great flow and from their own innocence and heart star. Their fear may test our own trust in the light, as we choose to remain steadfast even where it causes discomfort to others. This is the nature of freedom, that each of us makes this choice in any given moment. You must embrace your own freedom without guilt towards those who remain attached to the past. You cannot dull your light to appease them or deny the purity of the heart star. you cannot feel guilty for having what they do not, because in truth, it is theirs also. They only fail to acknowledge it. You must not suppress the blessing out of false allegiance to them, because they too are blessed, and you only concur with their illusionary belief and identification with their own shadows when you try to dull yourself for them. Sometimes you feel ineluctably drawn to the shadow dance of another, and their perspective haunts your inner world. This can happen only to the degree that some aspect of yourself is being reflected. You are drawn to view some aspect of yourself that seeks resolution. Acknowledge this vivid external mirror as a gift that is revealing something otherwise hidden to you. Then, with integrity, follow the true pathway within the self to where this hidden element exists. Discover that the shadow which clings on so hard is that which longs for release, for return to the flow of great mystery. Find the innocence at the heart of the shadow. Find where the light is held like a trapped star. When we see this, we experience pure forgiveness. When we truly know this, then forgiveness is automatic. It is not a decision. We could call forgiveness awareness of the true nature of shadows. This cannot be feigned, or it lacks sincerity. With false forgiveness, there is no true release taking place, and the shadow remains stuck. Only now it is further veiled. But we will know if this is the case, because the relationships that mirror this shadow will persist. The universe will continue to offer us this mirror until we are prepared to gaze into its eyes and see its innocence. The chance to awaken to truth is continually being offered to you. It is by this continual grace that you are offered the potential to release that which binds you, and to enter into the blinding beauty and courageous dance of who you truly are. It is your role to maintain a vigilance, an attentiveness to the opportunities for illumination and release as they occur. These moments may arise at any time, not just in the course of spiritual practices. This is your contribution, your collaboration with spirit, that you walk through these portals of light when they arise. You do not ignore them. You do not postpone them and wait for another better day. It is happening here as you sit beside this pine tree in a brief moment of spring sunshine. It is occurring as you crest the hill and a new valley opens up before you. You pause, allowing the other dimensional light codes to pour through, the messages and illumination, before walking on. Your recognition of these powerful offerings is increasing. Your subtle antenna is picking them up with increasing fluency. You move between them as a dancer moving between portals of light. You even begin to sense their presence in the future, looming up before you like stars on the horizon. Notice these potentials of time and space that offer you a natural awakening. our spirituality becomes less and less rarefied and separate. It is interlacing its way through our every breathing moment. Initiations that are the grand stars of awakening, the grand star portals, are becoming readily available, but everywhere the smaller stars of awakening are dancing around us. The myriad star portals of this earth are opening up and becoming accessible, and we stray across these. And when we walk through them, they too open further and blossom with the light of our initiation. Our awakening is linked to that of the earth. Our star auras are bound in a reciprocal exchange that is guiding us together into the golden dawn. Every cell of our body contains the amethyst mists of a realm that leads to space itself. Every cell is a holograph of the dimensions of the silver wheel. Every cell is a tiny silver wheel spinning with the teachings of the golden dawn. Mostly deeply within us, we are inscribed with silver script, with the sigils of an old language, a language of light that is glowing into visibility once more. We shine with the immortal rainbow of earthly wisdom, silver, amethyst, indigo, turquoise, emerald, gold, copper, and crimson. It is inscribed on our skin. It is written within our blood cells. If we maintain our vigilance, then we witness this activation taking place. We feel the amethyst gates within us opening, and all our other karmic and genetic imprints being released. We are restored to the full working order of our original vow. Any patterns we have acquired from our karmic and genetic inheritance now serve us rather than dominating us. This was always our purpose and highest potential. There is a spiral staircase in the forest, leading upward, past silvery trunks to the Morning Star Lodge. This is where the threads of the forest hold the Morning Star Lodge in connection to this world. The pearly sphere of the lodge is here, held aloft in the branches of the trees. It is a spherical tapering dome. The steps are of inlaid topaz, winding upwards a spiral ladder. I climb the stairwell, the carved willow staff in my hand, clad in a sapphire robe. There is dedication, reverence in my heart. Every breath is a prayer, calling down the silver wheel. I can feel the forest whispering to me. It is the morning star that holds us in our initiations. It has the power to hold us while we undergo deep transformation, while we let go of everything and allow ourselves to be attuned to the emptiness, to the silence. In the name of love, we accept such transformation. We step beyond. I step upwards, mounting the staircase one step at a time, winding higher and ever higher amongst the trees, amongst the moss and lichen-clad branches. Everywhere the forest remains silvery and bare. Yet the buds are swelling at the tips of the branches, and wildflowers dot the forest floor. I mount the stairwell, feeling how its substance is ethereal and otherworldly, woven of a descending light from the morning star, even as it borrows its substance from the forest. It is built from the scattered quartz, carved and hewn under the light of the moon and the morning star by long vanished hands, only ever built during the hour of their appearance. Symbols of the old language are inscribed in the quartz. This stairwell that grew over slow aeons, constructed by patient intention. It spirals its way amongst the uppermost branches of the trees, to the place where the lodge hangs with quiet brilliance, parallel to the forest canopy, resting above the interlaced branches. I arrive at the simple arch of its doorway and enter in. Within are the eagle elders. They each wear a fan of eagle feathers at their brow. They are sitting in a circle. I sit down in the circle of elders. I bow my head in honour to the intense wisdom of their presence. I can feel the accuracy of their vision, a rapier-like attunement to the ascensional processes of Earth, to the resurrection of illumined civilizations upon this planet. Their attention is upon the starlit choreography of emergence. They are aware of our extraordinary potentials, the limitless ascent that is available, the miracles woven into the fabric of the ordinary. They are custodians to the dawn. From the Morning Star Lodge, there spills forth the immortal language, that which is written within the deerskin book. It whispers to me from every direction, sounding through sage smoke and eagle feathers. It is a message to be written herein. This is the prayer of hope that we make before the rising of the sun. We make this prayer to the morning star that shines before the full dawn. Before appearance, there is this. What are you in the pre-dawn light? What are you as you first emerge from the darkness and the silence? This is the way that you emerge against the backdrop of the unknown. What is the quality of hope in your heart as you step forth? Hope is one of our most beautiful qualities. It is one of our treasures. Hope is the child of imagination and of love. Hope arises in us, like the morning star, a perpetual gift that arises from even the deepest night. It can be subtle, humble, inadvertent, or dazzling and energized. It is woven into our lives in such a perpetual manner that we barely notice it. This hope deserves our attention. We allow its full light to appear to us. Hope, ancient, brilliant star of memories. Hope is the language of other worlds, other lifetimes, spiraling through into this one. It is our memory of the light, of joy and happiness, peace and fulfillment. It is the memory of our original purpose making itself felt. We notice this natural gift of the light, this grace. We notice especially its re-emergence after times of darkness. Wound in with our hope is also the sense of loss. It can be painful. Hope can feel like a gentle and tormenting flame, especially when we have passed beyond all longing and desire into the abyss and remember the peace of this nothingness. It can feel more peaceful to have no more hope in your heart. Yet as long as this luminous guide shows up at our side, it is worth our attention. It is worth noticing that which we hope for, that in us which remains unfinished. We can attune our hope to the arising of the golden dawn, to the arrival of this dawn on earth. We attune ourselves via the morning star and ask how we might serve. In this light, before the sunrise, we look to our hope and to its alignment. We discover that within us, which merely hopes to foster old realities, obsolete aspirations. These are our wayward hopes, our distractions. They can cause the misdirection of our attention and the waste of our energy. They can cause us to stand in a cross current to the greater dream. We attune our hope to the morning star, from where this precious gift arises. As we awake to the pre-dawn light, we ask ourselves, what is it that I hope for this day? Wear the eagle feathers at your brow. They represent your clarity and dedication to spirit. The elders place the feathers, three of them, at my brow, tied with white cloth. They reach around and tie them behind my head. I can feel the firm pressure of the feathers at my brow, and with them an intense link to the light of the morning star. This symbolizes the purity of my hope, that I have purified and released all other intentions and aligned myself to the greater dawn, to the arising of the silver wheel upon earth. I am guided by my oldest and most vast remembrance, the flame of a hope that knows no separation from the thousand dawns of great mysteries, love. I am guided into service and the authority of true vision. Hope. Which of my hopes are the greater dawn arising within me? Which of my hopes are a guardian star illuminating my world? We must learn to trust this morning star gift, foster its pure essence, which indeed need not be hope for anything, yet simply the purified flame of hope itself, a radiant and soft huge star, which promises the blossoming of all true radiance throughout time and space. So, blessings and love, and may the words of the 12th glyph and the chapter stay with you and illuminate your passage, standing forth also as activational gateways, as evocations for you, this moon, of that which is being called forth within. So great blessings and love. Teretianar oye tantierin. And I shall see you soon.